I had the great opportunity of being on a silent retreat for 4 days this week. And in that environment, things get very clear when there are no outside activities at all to distract you. One's mind wanders in healthful directions, actually. And I was thinking about the great tradition of all spiritual teachers. There is only one message that every great teacher has ever sought to convey or done so effectively, and that is one of freedom in this lifetime. None of the great teachers have been concerned about punishment and afterlife, have been worried about sin. The great work is in recognizing that there is, with the extraordinary opportunity that comes with being a human, there are also extraordinary things to be aware of, liabilities. In her outstanding book in 1892, H. Emily Cady begins a book called Lessons in Truth with a chapter called Bondage or Liberty? Which? Question mark. Which will you choose in this lifetime? To be in bondage or to be a free agent? In the book of Isaiah, one of the more memorable quotations that floats around in our culture is, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free." And in the Gospels, this is repeated by the teacher Jesus as well. That may be interpreted literally. It can also be interpreted, and its best interpretation is to take it metaphorically, that there is good news, and the good news is the good news to the poor, and the poor is anybody that doesn't know what the truth is. Not financially poor, but if you are poor in insight, there is good news. And the news is that you indeed can choose to see and not be blind. You can choose to be free and not oppressed. You can choose to be free again, but you have to set yourself free. This is the work of a lifetime. And in making the effort to be truly free, to be our fullest, most authentic selves, we encounter this thing that unfolds called our lives. We are given information which is not necessarily correct or helpful in the long run from our culture, and that has not changed ever in the history of the human race since we've been speaking to each other and telling stories and writing them down. The story that comes to us, and sometimes through us, because there are parts of our unchosen nature that are wholly biological. There's a part of us that's always going to seek safety, seek conformity, seek an immediate relief from discomfort or pain, but does not have to be our life way. Many of us came into this teaching, and I won't ask anybody to raise their hand, but for the purpose of this work, I feel free to out myself that I have been sober for 29 years now. And no applause, please. And I need you to know that, because working 12 steps and this teaching hand in hand helped me create a life all over again when I realized that everything that I thought was true was not true. and every fantasy I had was not coming true. That I had failed somehow as a grown-up to set appropriate, realistic goals for myself that I actually could achieve. In my frustration to handle that disappointment in my late 20s, early 30s, I, got a little out of control. And I will tell the story because there's no shame in anything that we have ever done or any part of our past. That I was a bartender and a damn fine one. But in 1984, 85, every gay man in America had reason to think that he would be dead in a year or two. And I remember the moment when I was behind the bar and I looked at myself in the face, and I was not ashamed that I was a bartender, but I thought, if that's going to happen, I'm not going to die a drunk. That was my motivation. And so I cleaned up my act, and then very shortly thereafter, I discovered Dr. Walker's ministry. And in that, in the science of mind, in the largest context, I also heard what I needed to hear, that if something is true, there is a way that it's true. Very basic teaching of science of mind. Very basic teaching, science of mind. That there is one thing that is happening in all the cosmos, and that is life unfolding. And I am a part of it. Very basic. And Dr. Walker's great gift to me is don't delay your good. Do not delay your good. When you know what your next step is, either something you want to create or something you want to clean up, do not say, I will wait till I finish my taxes. Because there's something in you that knows you do not have any intention of moving on with that. It is now and only now where you get the opportunity to handle your business. And so one thing by another, one issue at a time, one creation at a time, one healing at a time is how we learn to be in practice. But/and the key to living the really, really effective life is to be about the business of always creating or healing something. The big, nasty, dramatic things are easy to handle because you know what you have to. If you got a fire going on, you got to put out a fire. That's easy. It's easy to be good in an emergency because you know what has to happen. It's when life is kind of in the middle, but it's not unfolding as I thought it would. It's not happening easily and gracefully the way it's promised to me. And what is the problem? Well, it's always going to be us, our mistaken identity. Now, as I said, many, many of us have come into this healing profession through 12-step work. Many, many ministers and many congregants all across the country, because it's a wonderful way to keep addressing your spiritual growth. But it's not always for the same reason. It's a gambling addiction. It's a drug addiction. It's alcohol. It's any numbers of things. This is going to sound like a joke, and I know it's Sunday morning, but internet pornography is a huge addiction issue for men. Now, there's always something new to get addicted to. Always something new. And how do I know what an addiction is? whether it's feeling good or bad, whether I'm feeling good or bad, I will turn to that to stop my anxiety about being in the present moment. I will turn towards the grocery store. I will turn towards the online gambling. I will turn towards watching endless reruns of Antiques Roadshow. I have watched so many episodes of that, I could be an appraiser, and I'm talking about the English Antiques Roadshow. And I can kid myself and say, well, at least I'm learning something. But I'm not a dealer. What the heck good does it matter? I don't collect Wedgwood. Why do I need to care what the sugar bowl is worth? Well, I got to watch Antiques Roadshow. Yeah. That's the tip of the iceberg, you know. Honestly, no harm done. But sometimes these things are insidious, where there can be an interest or an enjoyment, a pure enjoyment of something that turns into a hobby, that turns into an obsession or an addiction, which can even be reading self-help books. That's an addiction in itself. All I need to do is read one more book. Guess what? It's not in the book. It's in you. Science of Mind asks us to always be first and always mindful of that, that there is one thing happening, one thing. And I am that. Or as Ram Dass invites us, if that's to look at all of the cosmos and say, I am that too. I am a part of everything. And there is a part of me, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I will repeat it ever so briefly, there is a part of me that is a capacity of mind to observe, to be the thinker of thoughts, if you will. That part of me that always was and is now and is going to live on after me, always, that is the thing that I always need to come back to. That is what spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer, will only direct me back to that truth. You see, I think in our work, if there are any longtime Science of Mind people here, we got in a habit for about 50 years of treating for things. I need a job, let's pray for it. I need a physical healing, let's pray for it. I need a car, let's treat for a car. We don't treat for anything that has not turned out to be effective or true, because we've been experimenting for 100 years with mental science. That's not the whole story. Dr. Holmes invites us to come back to this place where ultimately I know that I am a part of the thing itself, the eternal part of me. I am not my thoughts, I am not my things, I am not my body. I am. And to the degree that I understand that, what I require will also arise from the ground of being to satisfy that desire. That is what is meant to say, I have the consciousness of right work. We start first with saying, I have the consciousness of knowing that I am one and inseparable from the creative principle of all that is. And I am, in that regard, perfect. I am complete and cannot be anything but complete, comma, my life might be a mess. But there is that of me that is good. You see, the biggest addiction we have is, this is going to sound like a joke, but it's not, is the biggest addiction we have is to living and to thinking that we are our body or our experience. And if we remain addicted to thinking that we are our body, well, guess who's going to be disappointed at some point? Everybody. Over that idea, it's futile to resist. It's futile to argue with it. 12 steps, science of mind, offer a way to be in business with yourself. It offers a way to practice, to really practice creating a life that you want. But we have to give up what we're addicted to. We have to first realize that, you know what, blaming anybody is not going to get me what I want. Feeling sorry about whatever limitations I have had in life is still not going to get me what I want. If I understand that I'm experiencing limitations and I adopt really effective coping strategies or mechanisms, as I said once a couple of weeks ago, it was almost impossible for me to read as a child, so I adopted certain coping mechanisms with that and learned that I was a visual learner, and you know, I've been okay in this life. But if we fall for the story that I am a victim of my circumstance, whatever the circumstance is, you're just going to have a life of maintenance. It may be high maintenance. I mean, it may be really comfortable, and it may be nice and not so awful and nothing to really complain about, but you will never have the opportunity to be you, and that's why you've been incarnated, to be you in this lifetime. To be fully, freely you. One thing I've learned in these years of preaching is that no matter how successful and smart somebody might be, I have found that many people are still waiting for permission to say, you get to be you. And there really isn't anything that's holding you down. You don't have to follow anybody's rules. You don't have to follow anybody's dress code. I'm not a part of a church organization where somebody will tell me what's appropriate or not. Praise God. Imagine my surprise that I get to hold a pulpit in an American church. And I get to say that I used to be a drunk and I'm gay. You know, the cops aren't coming. It's okay. Maybe that wasn't always the case, but it's not an excuse. And I don't care what your story is, it's a story that we, when we're young, we learn to tell to survive, and then we become addicted to it. Freedom is the key. For everybody, at every age, it so doesn't matter either what your age is. If you want to do it, fine. Please go ahead. Do it, whatever it is. You might not be getting any enthusiasm or support from anybody else. And if you wait for it, you might wait a really long time. So what are you waiting for? Okay. That's the nature of being human. One of the healing things that I hope to achieve by having this talk is to let you know that we here are about the business of changing our culture in relation to what the practitioners can do or actually do, or what the purpose of affirmative prayer treatment is. It's not to absolve you from the responsibility of your issue or your life. It's somebody who will look at you and say, you know what, I get it, you're in pain right now. And we all have pain. We're all human beings. We get this. And I know that there is that of you that is God. And it can come forth into expression if you are willing to, quote unquote, work your program. If you don't, you get bupkis. Bupkis. I'm going to give 2 minutes to the first step as we conclude this talk. The first step of Alcoholics Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over booze, over weed, over sex, over feeling sorry for ourselves, over racism. We were powerless over you pick it. And that our lives had become unmanageable. For some of us that do go to 12-step meetings, it's a matter of life and death sometimes. But everything is about creation and being born, not born again, but being born, creating, getting on with it. Everything that we do. And if you can take this project by project, you know, I admitted I am powerless over getting this project off the ground. This way, what do I need to let go of and start again and go this way? For a long time, you know, we didn't want to talk about this in Science of Mind because it was a taboo about saying the word powerless. Friends, I would not encourage anybody to walk off the top of a building because you know what? You were powerless over the effect of gravity. This is a teaching that is real and hip and deep, and it's for keeps. And it's not worth spending any time playing games about it. Our bodies are little chemical factories, is what they are. There are trillions of chemical actions and reactions that are going on in your body at every moment. What you put into it is going to have an effect. It might affect your mind as well. No doubt it will. It may, they used to say, you know, don't drugs and alcohol impair your judgment. Duh. That's the point. To make something stupid seem like a great idea. Okay, you know, Friday night maybe, but for the rest of the time, it's okay to say, you know, I have really, really tried to make this happen this way. And I'm powerless. I just can't make it happen. Why? Because I'm still waiting for the magic person to show up. Well, they're not coming. They're not coming. What can you do now? I can admit, and I'm going to do this today because I'm taking on a project. I always am working on something myself. This is what I've learned here. Starting today with this talk, I'm taking on a new project. And you know what? It didn't happen automatically, magically, all by itself, the thing I wanted to create. I'm powerless over thinking that I can be stupid and inactive and then something good is going to happen. What is the opposite of that? I accept 100% responsibility for me, for my life, for my health, and for my creativity, and for my activity. This is not complicated. It is very simple. And yet it is profound. If you've ever been to a 12-step meeting of any kind, at the end of it, everyone says, keep coming back. It works if you work it. And here's what the correlation I want to make with religious science and treatment, which is the ability to remember that you are the thing itself and to pray without ceasing, always, is I can't give somebody a prayer request and expect it in its entirety and to my liking and specification. Yes, all prayer is effective and cumulatively. But you know what? It's my responsibility. I can't give a prayer request to you and say you're going to handle it for me. No, you and your understanding of yourself being at one, being the dynamic principle of the universe, this is what's going to make it happen in your life. First, as any doctor would say, do no harm. And then the rest is up to you. God bless you, friends.